Do you know who owns over 50% of the real estate in the United States, has the most equity in said real estate, and will be looking to sell or tap said equity over the next 10 years? That's right, everyone's favorite generation, the baby boomers. And right now, we are in the middle of the silver tsunami. 2024 is the peak of the over 65 year, where a record number of baby boomers will turn 65. So, why should you care? Well, they might be ready to sell that home over the next several years and create listing opportunities for your market. But with many boomers deciding to age in place, they might be staying put and deciding to use all that home equity for something else, like say, buying investment property or helping their kids buy their first homes. And my next guest is going to show you a magical tool that helps this aging generation keep their current home while still having capital to invest in more real estate. And knowing about this magical tool will help you find more ways to help your clients grow their real estate portfolio. Most agents haven't even considered it. Joining me will be Chris Handy. Chris is a certified reverse mortgage specialist. And that just means that he knows more than the average bear when it comes to these magical loans. Chris is going to share with us all the different types of reverse mortgages that there are. And there are more than you think. And he's going to give us strategies on how to use them to help our clients grow their real estate empire. Look, with a huge sector of the real estate market sitting on so much equity, and at an age where they can take advantage of this special product that no one else can, why would you not want to know every way possible to utilize it? Market shifting, and there's opportunity abound. Just need to know where to look. And Chris will be our guide to finding that pot of gold right under the rainbow. Howdy, howdy to all you real estate gurus and lending legends out there. So have you ever thought there might be more to your client's home equity than just those dormant dollars sitting there? Well, you've tuned into the Pulse of Property Finance. This is the Texas Real Estate and Finance Podcast, and I'm your host, Mike Mills, a North Texas mortgage banker with Geneva Financial. And today, I will be your guide on the road from equity to opportunity. So buckle up as we venture into the realm of real estate riches in an episode that aims to be as engaging as my attempt to explain Snapchat to my grandparents. So what if I told you that there was a secret weapon in real estate that most agents and lenders are not fully utilizing? Well, today we're going to peel back the curtain a little on a little understood mortgage product that could be the key to the next 10 years of your business. You'll learn how this tool can create wealth building opportunities for your clients, all from the comfort of their current home. But first, if today's insights light up your real estate radar a little bit, do me a solid. Show me some love by liking, sharing, or leaving a glowing review. It's not just good karma, but it's what keeps this podcast going. Think of it as like tossing a coin into your podcaster's cup as I stand on the street corner with my megaphone, shouting my gray matter gumdrops into the void. Your likes keep my insanity in check, so help an old senile guy out. But now, have you ever met a certified reverse mortgage specialist? Well, neither have I, and it probably is because there are only a few of them walking around this little blue ball in the solar system. But I found one and brought him here today. His name is Chris Handy, and he is an encyclopedia of reverse mortgages, and he's been at it since most of you could even drive. So Chris is the hero we all need right now, but probably haven't even heard about until today. So let's welcome Chris to the podcast. Chris, how are you doing, sir?
Morning or afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great, man.
Awesome.
Okay, so let's start with my favorite little catchphrase these days, which is the silver tsunami. So can you tell me what exactly that is and what it really means these days?
Well, you know, it refers to the amount of baby boomers now that are entering into the retirement age area. Yep. And, you know, it's just this, it's been this trickle of folks that are, you know, slowly entering into the age that they considered their parents to be retirees. Although, you know, a lot of baby boomers are still working and their 60s and even 70s and things like that. I think there's a big difference between the baby boomer generation and the previous generations. They're much more active. They're living longer. They generally will, you know, been given better health advice to take care of themselves more and things like that. And, you know, a lot of them have affluence. Most of them built up in their homes.
Yes.
You know,
if you
check your average baby boomer and say, where is most of your money at, and tally up everything, it's going to be their home is probably their number one asset.
It's in real estate. Well, yeah, it's funny. You know, these days with rates being high, you know, obviously being in the real estate and mortgage world, we see interest rates now in the sevens. Now, actually, the last couple of days, I think we're back into the high sixes again. So that's nice. But you always hear, you know, older agents and older mortgage professionals talk about how, you know, in the 80s, they were buying houses at 18%, which was true, right?
Yeah.
But the difference between 1980 and today was that the average house in 1982 was $70,000. And these days, the average house is like $450,000. So it's a quite a big difference when you're talking about interest rates. But the good news on that is that those folks that bought these houses in the 80s and 90s and even early 2000s, you know, that are starting to get close to retirement age are sitting on massive amounts of equity because, you know, of that reason, because the home appreciation has been so dramatic over the last several years.
True. Yeah. And, you know, it's a different world now than it was in the 80s, 40 years ago. Yes. I think it's more of a global world economy than it certainly was then. Mm-hmm. You know, the U.S. is still the major player, but they were, you know, in the 80s, the U.S. could kind of control most of our economy, you know, without a lot of outside influence. And now with you know, China and foreign trade, and it's, I think it's just the kind of a different animal now that to compare economic factors from the 80s till now.
Yes. Yeah. It's to say that it's changed a little bit would be an understatement. So,
yeah.
All right. So let's start with, first off, what exactly is a certified, reverse mortgage professional? Because, you know, I've been in the business for about 15 years. And, you know, I've been familiar with what reverse mortgages generally speaking are. I don't know that a lot of people outside of, you know, even realtors, the people that are outside of mortgages don't understand that, like, you know, I do FHA, conventional, you know, your standard VA, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I really can't and don't choose to do reverse mortgages, nor would I want to. And it's very siloed in our industry where if you do the standard FHA, conventional, whatever type mortgages, or you do reverse mortgages, and very, very few people actually cross over. But to actually be certified in it, there's not a whole lot of people that have that certification, correct?
Right. Yeah. I'm entering my 20th year in the reverse mortgage business. Started 2005 or so, maybe 4 or 5 would be my first year where I did do some mostly regular mortgages, started doing reverse mortgages, and then over time focused for, you know, that's all I do now is reverse mortgages. It's enough to keep up on the intricacies and regulations and things like that that go into them. It's been a fast changing product. I mean, you know, an FHA 30 year fixed has been an FHA 30 year fixed for decades, but a reverse mortgage has not. And so part of my, one of my goals and duties is to convey what some of those changes are and talk about what the current state of reverse mortgages are and what they are compared to how they were, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Because there are some big differences. But, you know, certified reverse mortgage professionals are, it's a hard designation to get in that you have to have a certain amount of education. Mm-hmm. You have to have closed at least 50 reverse mortgages to apply for the designation. And it's done through the National Reverse Mortgage Lenders Association in Washington, D.C. And you have to have a take a proctored test. And then there are continuing education and extra background checks that I have to do each year.
Oh, really? So they're making sure that you're not a shady guy every single year.
They want to make sure that if you're a certified reverse mortgage professional, you are who the industry wants to talk about this product as a trusted resource. Yeah. And you know what you're talking about.
And have you taken advantage of all the old folks. Right. I got you. Yeah. Exactly. I got you.
And so that's kind of a little bit of the deal behind it. There's only about 200 of us in the country because.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You think there would be more, but it takes a lot of focus and work to do it. And you have to have the experience and volume to get into it. So
it's like four per state. Yeah. That's like 4 per state. That's not very many people to do that.
It's not, you know, it's not. And so, you know, if I tell people, okay, if you want to talk about reverse mortgages and it's not me, I hope it's at least another certified reverse mortgage professional because then I know you're in good hands.
Right. At least you can feel confident that if they are talking to multiple people, that at least they are certified as well and not just somebody. Because, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that put themselves, especially I would imagine the market's growing a little bit these days because there is more opportunity there. So I would imagine there's more people specializing in reverse mortgages. But the idea that, you know, you have to do at least 50 of them in order to even be considered to be certified in it, then, you know, there's probably several people out there that haven't done anywhere near that, that are still trying to, you know, spout off their experts at a particular topic. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what I find is a lot of people will say, well, I specialize that or do reverse mortgages. And then you actually talk about their experience and it's one or two a year.
Right.
And it's like, well, okay, that's, I'm not downplaying that you got 1 or 2 year done, but it's not as in depth as what I have to go through to maintain my, you know, credentials on this.
So when it comes to, all right, so let's get real simple on, sure, you know, for anybody that doesn't understand exactly what a reverse mortgage is. So let's just start at the basics of it. You know, what is a reverse mortgage in general, you know, the standard one, and then what are the qualifications that you have to have and kind of how does it generally work?
Yeah. And people try and make it more complicated than it really is. It is simply a tool or mechanism to access equity in your property, your principal residence, without requiring a monthly payment back on the money that you draw out. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Typically, 90% of the time, these are set up on lines of credit, or monthly payments, or a combination of monthly payments and line of credit.
Monthly payments to
the homeowner. Yeah. Right. So the homeowner can decide, okay, do I want, you know, a check coming in for $500 or $1,000 a month every single month out of my equity? Mm-hmm. Or do I want a credit line and I'll just draw on it as I need it?
You know? Right. Right.
And then interest is assessed on the outstanding balance, just like a regular mortgage. Mm-hmm. Instead of getting a bill for it that you have to pay each month, you just get a statement saying, okay, this is how much interest was added to your existing balance. And if you have an open line of credit, this is how much your line of credit grew, because the lines of credit, unlike a regular home equity line of credit, which is stagnant. Reverse mortgage lines of credits, at least the FHA products, grow at whatever the interest rate is.
Okay. So
if the interest rate is 6% and you have a $100,000 credit line, 12 months later, your credit line's up to $106,000. You grew access to your equity by $6,000.
Oh, wow. Okay. So yeah, it's growing.
Yeah.
Because it's assuming that the property is growing in value as well. Is that kind of the idea?
Property value, you are the homeowner. So property value is still going up as well. And whether the appreciation rate is 3% or 8% or whatever it may be, that's your appreciation.
Okay.
That's not the bank's. We're still fighting this misconception from early reverse mortgages, which I think were before FHA got involved in the 70s and 80s, where there's some aspect of, okay, you do this loan and then we get the house when you're done and I'll give you this money up front. And then that's not how the FHA product works at all. And the current proprietary reverse mortgages don't work that way either. You're only liable to pay back what you owe up to the value of the home. So FHAs, and I'll just use that as an example. FHA is taking the risk on whether you borrow more than the home is worth if there's a market crash.
Really? Okay. So yeah. If the market has a downturn, then you could actually have more owed against the property than it's worth. But just like anything else, that's not really, it's kind of like, you know, when you're losing money on a stock, you don't actually lose money until you sell the stock. So therefore, right, you know, it's just, you're just operating in a negative for a period of time, which, I mean, market has dips all the time. We go up and down, but we also, if you look historically, it's, you know, it's like that.
Yeah.
It's still going up. So,
yeah. I mean, let's look at an analogy. If you have somebody who did a reverse mortgage in 2006 at the height of that real estate boom, and then they pulled all the money they could out of a reverse mortgage and passed away in 2010 or 11, they very well may have a mortgage balance that of money they pulled out more than what the home is currently worth. FHA took the loss on that because the family could elect to just assign the home to FHA and walk away from it, knowing that they're the heir, or, well, I guess they're the heir, the senior who owned the home, you know, got the money out, but they're not liable for the fact that the home isn't worth as much to cover what they borrowed.
Right.
There is an option in there where the family also can buy the home at 95% of the current appraised value if it is upside down. And even a crazier scenario, because I talked about the credit line, right? Let's say you set up a credit line of $300,000, mm-hmm. or grew, because I mentioned that growth factor. Let's say your credit line grew to $300,000 and home values crashed in 2010, 11, 12. And all of a sudden that home is only worth 250. You actually have a credit line to pull money more than what the home is worth.
Oh, so they keep it open. They don't even reduce it.
The FHA guarantees that line is open. It cannot be closed.
Wow.
If you got monthly payments setting up to come in, those monthly payments are going to be coming in.
Wow.
Off of FHA's insurance pool. You are going to get that money that you set up.
Okay.
No matter what happens to the home value.
So what are the ages when you can start doing it? And then, of course, where do you see on average that people actually start taking advantage of this loan?
Sure. Well, the qualification percentage on reverse mortgages is based off of the age of the youngest spouse and current interest rates. Now, as long as one spouse on the FHA product is over 62, mm-hmm. you can do the reverse mortgage, but the percentage of home value for that you can initially access goes off the age of the youngest spouse, even if they're younger than 62.
Okay. So you can access it if you're 62, but if you're married to somebody that's like 59, then they're going to base an actuary table? What's it called? They're going to base it off of the 59.
Yeah. It's actuarial tables. Okay, yeah.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's like what do they call it? It's like a doom and gloom table. It's like,
they go off of the Social Security doom and gloom tables calculate a lot of these figures. But yeah. So if a 62-year-old is married to a 54-year-old, mm-hmm. you know, it's just the percentage is going to go off of the age of the 54-year-old. The 54-year-old is considered a non-borrowing spouse.
Gotcha.
Now, here's the one kind of tricky part is that and a little bit of a technicality, but if there are payments or a line of credit set up and the borrowing spouse passes away mm-hmm. or moves out of the home and the loan isn't due, it used to be due for the non-borrowing spouse. They used to say, okay, your husband passed away. The loan's due now. You weren't on the loan.
Right.
Now they'll be like, well, the loan isn't due, but you can't until you refinance when everybody's 62. The payments will stop or the access to the money stops.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So
it's not due, but you just don't get the continuing payments or the access of the funds.
Yeah. If you're doing this for access to funds, especially future funds, it's really optimal to have both partners be 62 or count on refinancing the other one onto the loan when they are 62.
Right. 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 Okay.
If you're using the funds to, and this is probably the most common use, if you're using the funds to pay off an existing mortgage and there's not much left over in eligibility after you do that, mm-hmm. it doesn't really matter that both spouses are 62 or not, unless you do something to create eligibility, like make payments into a reverse mortgage. So kind of interesting, payments made into a reverse mortgage create a credit line, which grows, which then can be accessed later.
Okay. So
let's say somebody has a choice. Okay, you can pay money into a savings account, maybe get 3 or 4%, or maybe you can pay it into a reverse mortgage and your credit line growth might be 6 or 7%.
I will. Okay. So yeah.
There are some benefits to making payments on the reverse mortgage. It's the beauty is you get to decide how much you want to pay and when, and you have control over it.
Right.
Versus a regular mortgage, the payment's due next month on the first, whether you like it or not.
Right.
And
so you can put money into it and that money can then help the interest grow for it. That'll give you more access to funds later. So it's almost like putting money into a savings account to some extent, growing it 6 or 7%.
Yeah, it acts that same way as far as liquidity is concerned. It's really access to more of your own equity. But it, as far as that's concerned, it can be put into the mortgage with a strategy to draw it out later after you get some growth on it. So,
and I think you told me before we started, on average, you're seeing most folks that are doing these to be around 70.
That's typically the typical age, 68 to 72, somewhere around in there. Mm-hmm. The product is probably being underutilized because there's so much equity across the U.S. now.
Yeah, it's massive.
And, And baby boomers, again, they're an active generation. They're an active generation of retirees. And even, you know, even if you are working 20 hours a week for something to do, you know, folks are still wanting to travel and buy RVs and have money to spend with their kids. And gosh, with inflation and pricing and things, I get them all. I get my clients all the time telling me, you know what, my little bag of groceries here that I used to get, you know, that cost $75 now seems to cost me $125.
Yeah. And, yeah. It's getting out of control a little bit. Yeah. Everything just keeps going up. It's not coming down. Before I want to get into the implications of what we can do with the baby boomers, especially with the equity and some of the things that we can use this equity for. Sure. But before we do that, I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, I think if you haven't paid attention, you have this, a lot of people have this negative idea in their head about reverse mortgages that, you know, they're either taking advantage of the older folks or the, like you said earlier, the bank's going to take the house when it's done. Can you explain a little bit, like, why were there some negative? Why do you think there were some negatives around it, you know, a while back? And then what is the reality of what kind of happens to the home, you know, once the retiree or whatever, either, you know, passes on or decides to sell it or what, you know, what are the implications there at that point? And especially, you know, cause anybody it's usually the kids, right? It's the heirs that are all like, wait, you're giving my mom's house away. Let me talk to her and make sure. So can you clear up a little bit of that for me?
Yeah. You know, I mean, the negative connotations again, were kind of the old original concepts of reverse mortgages where, oh, okay, you know, and there are some programs, like they're not really reverse mortgages. There are, and I don't do them, but there are equity sharing programs and some things out there right now where they say, okay, you know, give me this equity or I'll give you the access to this equity and you give me the house when you're done. Gotcha. And somehow that has stuck for three decades.
Yes. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
How much
And the current product isn't, you know, the program is not like that at all. A matter of fact, it's set up to not be able to access a ton of your equity, just use some of it. Yes. And there's a large cushion in there for, especially from FHA's point of view, for market fluctuations in real estate. Because like I said, keep in mind, if the real estate value falls, FHA might take a hit. But if they rise and then we have a really good real estate market like we've been, that is your money or inheritance.
Yes.
And so you get the upside. They're taking the risk on the downside. Well, because they're taking the risk on the downside, they're not, you know, they might give you access to 50% of the home's equity because it grows on top of it too.
Of course. Yeah. They're not going to give you all of it because there's a lot of risk involved.
They wouldn't then give you 80-90% of the home's value and then grow it on top of that.
Any
little market turn, they're upside down. And so so there's purposely a cushion built in there that typically is going to go to inheritance. Mm-hmm. Again, the liability is to pay back what you borrowed plus any interest that's been assessed that you haven't made payments on.
Right.
So let's say you have a $500,000 home and you borrow two on it with the reverse mortgage. And by the time you're done, maybe the loan balance has gone to three, but maybe your home has gone to seven or eight in that time. That's using, you know, typical amortization projections based on what home appreciation has been. 4% average in the country, certain areas seeing 6 and 8. And I'm talking about a 40-year period, 50-year period.
Right.
So when you look at that, you're like, well, that's not a bad deal. You know, I get to use this money and I owe $300,000 at the end. My kids are going to sell the home for 6, 7, 8, pay off the $300,000. They're going to keep the rest as inheritance. And generally, especially the last 20, 25 years, that's how the program has worked out. Mm-hmm. And so there's that negative connotation in the back of people's heads that, well, that's not the way it works. The way it works is now the bank has it. Now the government has it. Now there's no money left in the house.
Right. And you're taking all my stuff.
You're taking all my stuff and there's nothing there for anybody and that sort of thing. It's like, that's not how it's really designed to work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You're just giving access to the equity to your parents or, you know, the bank is giving access and the equity to your parents so they can use it while they're still alive and still, you know, thriving and everything versus, you know, just sitting in there that they can't ever get to it and not having to move, you know, and not having to relocate to somewhere else. Because like we said a minute ago, you know, the trend is, you know, this whole silver tsunami thing is like, all right, well, all these people are going to have these homes come available for sale, you know, in the next now versus the next 5 or 10 years. And, you know, what we're seeing more and more is that Baby boomers are choosing to stay in their homes. They're not choosing to downsize. They're not choosing to move into retirement communities. They're staying where they are, you know, or at least at a greater clip than they, you know, had historically. And so, you know, this is a way for your, for them to stay in their homes, but still be able to access the equity and not have to pay massive amounts of money in order to be able to do that. If you're on a fixed income like Social Security, which is next to nothing these days, you know, if that's what you're getting, but you've built up this asset and you have all this equity in it. And the only way to get it is to penalize you by taking out a loan with 8% interest that you got to pay back. So you're just basically, you know, taking everything that you got the income coming in to pay it off. Well, this route, you don't have to do that. And that's money that they can then access and use to, you know, take trips and buy RVs and do whatever it is that they want to do in order to enjoy the, you know, the twilight years of their life, which is what we all want to do. So, you know, it's a shame that the stigma has followed for so many years because everybody thinks, well, once, you know, once my parents pass on, the bank's just going to take my house. But that's just not true because the heirs actually have the option at that point to buy it. Correct.
Yeah. The heirs can still buy the home again at 95% of whatever it appraises at, if it is upside down, and either the bank or FHA will take the loss on it. Non-FHA products are out there where the bank takes loss. FHA's insurance pool will take the loss on that program. But yeah, they still have the opportunity to buy the home at 95% of what it is valued at that time. Especially the last several years, there's not many people that have been upside down that way in their homes who have done
it. They just refinance it then? Can you refinance it? Like
you can refinance it if you want to keep the home in the family or whatever. You just say, okay, well, you know, we owe $300,000 on this home that's worth $6,000 or $7,000 or $8,000. We want to keep it. Okay, we'll go out and get a $300,000 home. I've even done reverse mortgages for heirs who inherited the home from the parent who had a reverse mortgage. That's even happened before.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Were they just of age at that time? Because their parents passed away.
They were 62 and their parents passed away and had a reverse mortgage of maybe 80 or 85 or 90. And maybe at the time when the parents did the reverse mortgage, the home was only worth so much and it's gone way up in value. And so it works out to use the current value, or, you know, that has gone up so much since the first reverse mortgage was done. And it works out to be able to move it into a new reverse mortgage. I mean, some things have to line up correctly in the market to do that, but it can be done, you know.
So as real estate professionals, realtors and lenders, what do you see if you were talking to, you know, a room full of people? What would you tell them, you know, the best, what's a good use case for this product in their business? And when they come across clients or past clients have had this much equity and being able to access it, why do you think it's so important to understand this product, you know, as a professional?
Well, you know, let's look at their choices, right? If you're, because this can be done as a purchase product too. So I'll touch on that. If you're looking at a choice of saying, hey, I need funds and I'm looking at getting a 30-year fixed mortgage, that senior likely will never see the end of that payment schedule. Whatever mortgage they're taking out, or if you're a professional and you're putting them, they're 75 years old and you're putting them into a 30-year fixed, they're not going to be around to see that paid off. Just not on that payment schedule. So you're giving them a payment for life. Reverse mortgage is no payment, not for life. They can decide what they want to pay and when. So even if they're buying a new home and saying, well, I want to, you know, downsize, and I am going to downsize, I'm going to buy this home, I'm looking at taking out a 30-year fix. Okay, well, you have a payment for the rest of your life now in this new home. Except if you do a reverse mortgage, now you can decide if you want to make any payments at all.
Right.
The down payment on a reverse mortgage is more.
Well, the idea on that is that you would sell, like if you had somebody that was selling their $500,000 house or whatever, right? And they were downsizing to a smaller property, they would use a big chunk of that money towards that in order to do the reverse purchase. Is that how that works?
Yeah. So the way that would work is, let's say they're downsizing into a $300,000 home.
Right.
Well, depending on their age, the down payment could be as much as $200,000 or, you know, as little as $125,000, depending on their age. But let's just say, okay, it's a typical 60-something-year-old right now. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, okay, I'm going to downsize into this $300,000 home. I have this cash. I'm thinking about paying cash for it, but I don't want to use all my cash. So I'm going to take out a mortgage. The reverse mortgage would cover 100 of it, let's say. Mm-hmm. They would put down two and they would hold 100,000 or more in their bank account for retirement assets, mm-hmm. and then not have payments on the reverse mortgage 100,000 that is remaining on the home they just bought. They can decide if they want to pay anything that on that at all. And like I mentioned, if they do, it just builds up the credit line and grows at 6 or 7% or whatever. Now, in actuality, the last 25 years, the average interest rate on this has been in the fours. And these are monthly adjustables. Right. They're not scary monthly adjustables because there's no payment. Whether the rate's 2% or 8%, the payment's still zero. It right. just, you know, it's interest and credit line growth.
How much is your credit line growing based on
how much is your credit line growing? How much interest are they going to assess based on what rate? And the average, the last going back to the late 90s till now, the average has been in the fours.
Okay.
So
now real quick on the payment side of it. So taxes and insurance, right? Because if you own a property, you're obviously going to have property taxes.
Yes.
And most people are going to have insurance. So how does that work?
Yeah. The same as if you own the home free and clear, as the homeowner, that's your obligation is to pay your property taxes. And because there's a loan on there, especially, but you would want to protect your investment, even if you didn't have a mortgage,
right?
You don't want your home to, you know, have a disaster burn down and then no money to rebuild it and just take the loss. I mean, that'd be catastrophic. So most people have homeowners insurance, obviously. And that
they pay it separately, or do they, is it come out of, or can you set it up either way? Like, can you have it be paid from the line of credit or from the reverse mortgage?
And you don't. Yeah, good question. Most people choose to pay it independently. Okay. Most people do choose to. Some will use the reverse mortgage to make that, where they will draw money manually off of the reverse mortgage to pay those bills. Interestingly enough, about credit and income qualifying on the reverse mortgage is that the main factor of getting approved for a reverse mortgage is, do you have credit and funds to pay your taxes and insurance, you know, as demonstrated in the recent past?
Right.
And if you have mortgage lates or credit card lates, and there's things that would even stop you from getting any sort of regular loan, a reverse mortgage will still typically do it if you have enough eligibility to set up a prepaid escrow account to pay taxes and insurance through the reverse mortgage for a certain amount of time based on your life expectancy.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you might have to pre-fund $30,000 of your eligibility to pay taxes and insurance, but then that might last you 11 years, 12 right. years, whatever.
So ultimately, to qualify for it, you don't really need income, obviously, because this is part of where it's coming from. You're getting money, not being paid. Mm-hmm. And then as far as credit's concerned, it's not really a credit issue. It's just more of have you paid your taxes and everything you're current on? There's not any issues with the property, and you have a history of making sure that that wasn't the case, right?
Right. Yes. So there's a little bit of income qualifying to make sure that you have a reasonable cash flow to make sure that you're not going to go delinquent in the future on your taxes and insurance.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then there's a mechanism to address some of that plus credit issues to say, well, okay, if you have enough eligibility in the reverse mortgage, then we can use that. Where people run into problems is, well, I need almost every bit of my eligibility to pay off the mortgage I have right now.
Right.
You know, And again, even if that mortgage is at 3 or 4%, it still has a payment.
Yes.
And it's the biggest bill you pay.
Yes.
And you're not going to, depending on your age, you may not ever see the end of it.
Yeah.
So it still makes sense for a lot of folks to pay off that low rate mortgage and replace it with a reverse mortgage just for the cash flow issue.
Yeah, just to help on a monthly cash flow basis. Like you said earlier, especially with the cost of living just going through the roof as it has been, with utilities and insurance and grocery bills, and you know, everything is just incredibly expensive these days. So to not have that big massive monthly payment is a big help, you know, for anyone. All right. So let's talk about some of the applications for it. So what are you seeing these days when it comes to how people are starting to use and utilize their equity? Because again, this isn't, you know, people are living longer. We're not talking about folks that are, you know, on the verge of death here. We're talking about people mm-hmm. that have a good 20 solid, you know, at least years left to go before anything we have to worry about. So what are you seeing the use cases for it? Are you seeing people purchase real estate? Are you seeing, you know, individuals use that money for investment purposes and to help grow their retirement?
Yeah. There are specific ways that it should be used responsibly.
Okay.
It's not really encouraged, kind of frowned upon in the financial planning world. It's told not to do this. You know, don't take people's home equity and throw it in the stock market. Not necessarily. You don't want to necessarily do it that way.
Okay.
I'll circle back. You know, number one use is to pay off an existing mortgage and do something different with that cash flow. If you don't have that mortgage payment, maybe that means you need to draw less money and be taxed less each month on the money you take out of an IRA or 401k. Okay. And so there's that use. There are uses to buy real estate investment property, either depending on the size of the property you're buying and the size of your principal residence, either the whole thing or the down payment can be used as funding with the reverse mortgage to buy a vacation home or an investment property or that sort of thing, diversifying.
Or you can help out your kids because these days the biggest hurdle that we see, that I see at least on the traditional mortgage side of things is, you know, I don't say most people's credit, it's hit or miss. It's not any better or worse than it was, but people's credit is what it is. It's either good or bad. And you know, it's a 50-50 thing a lot of times. So credit's not the issue. And in a lot of cases, even these days, income isn't as big of an issue. It's getting to be more so because, you know, home prices have gone up and rates are higher, but for the most part, those people are looking, you know, to buy, their income can make it fit. Where people run into problems is having the cash for the down payment and the closing costs. And instead of having to use these, you know, I mean, I'm not against down payment assistance programs, but if you really look at what they are, you know, they're a bit of a detriment to the home buyer because you're paying 1 to 1.5% more in interest usually. And then these days, especially if you refinance that home and in a certain given amount of time, you got to pay all that money back. So it's, you know, this could be an avenue if you have a parent that is retirement age or thereabouts and doesn't have a ton of income, but also wants to help, but they don't have access to the cash. Well, if they've got $300,000 or $400,000 or $200,000 or whatever of equity sitting in their house where they don't have to refinance and take out an 8% new mortgage on, you know, and make payments on that, you can go this route to help out, you know, the transfer of wealth, as you would call it, you know, to the next generation to buy homes as well for their family.
Yeah, it's a mechanism to do that. And a couple of different ways I've seen that done lately. One would be, you know, to do the reverse mortgage and gift that down payment or help, financial assistance for the children. There's kind of a neat newish reverse mortgage product on the market that's come out in the last couple of years, which is a second mortgage, reverse mortgage.
All right.
And it's designed for people who don't want to necessarily pay off their existing low rate first mortgage.
They've got a 2%, $150,000 mortgage. They don't want to mess with that.
Yeah, but they still want the funds. Maybe they're buying an RV. Maybe they're buying a vacation home. Maybe they're helping their children buy a home.
Okay.
And so at a competitive market rate, you know, so, and I'm just ballparking, but you know, the prime rate right now is 8.5. Mm-hmm. For not far above that, you can get a reverse mortgage, second mortgage. You decide the payment on it and you can access a certain amount of those funds and you're not required to pay off your existing mortgage like you do with a traditional reverse mortgage.
Right, right. So it's a whole second lien altogether that you're not having to make payments on, that's just growing based on the equity of the house.
Yeah, so it's saying, okay, you can take out a second lien that's going to require you this big of a payment on a 15-year schedule or whatever it may be, or you can do a reverse mortgage second lien and you decide what the payment schedule is.
Yeah.
You want to pay anything on it each month? Fine. If you don't, that's fine.
Right.
You can decide. And guess what? I can qualify you on it because there's no payment on it. I don't need you to have X amount of extra income for this additional debt because there's no payment on that debt. And I don't have to factor that debt into whether you qualify or not.
Well, and another way to do it, which is something that we've been working on together, which is why I had you on here to begin with, was, you know, in that same scenario with that second lien, you have a lot of people that are downsizing homes or moving, you know, from one place to another. And, you know, nobody likes to move all their stuff out before, you know, they go buy another place. And so it's kind of like, you know, it's almost like a bridge loan product too, if you can use it, because now you can get access to the equity to help you buy the next home. And then you can then sell the home that you've pulled it out of already. And obviously it pays off the reverse mortgage and it pays off the current mortgage, but now you have the funds and you're not having to make an offer that is, you know, necessarily contingent on you selling this other house because you're trying to get the money that you need to put down on this one. So it's access to that money ahead of time, that it acts like a bridge loan and can really help people a lot, especially because coming up with those funds can be challenging, you know, when you want to put down 20% or whatever the case may be when you're moving.
Yes, exactly. Kind of a new concept, something the industry has been seeing introduced in the last couple of years. Available in a handful of states right now, but it's growing right now. Off the top of my head, it's in states like Texas, California, Florida, South Carolina. Typical states that also tend to do a reasonable amount of reverse mortgage volume too. Yeah. Probably soon to be in Nevada and Arizona, a few others.
Yeah.
But it's a neat product to say, okay, we're not going to make you pay off that existing low rate first mortgage if you don't want to access this cash. I'm going to give you a great way to have you decide, you know, how to manage the payment and the basically funds you want to take out of the house. It's a really neat way to say, I'm going to put the management of how to handle that into your hands.
Yeah. No, I mean, just having access to that money in the other thing I realized too, as you go through this, the process is actually pretty quick and easy. It's not, you know, it's not quite as drawn out as I think a lot of people think. And I don't mean quick and easy as in like you're going to rush them through it. There's a certain, you know, steps that you have to go through with the, with the education of the borrower, but ultimately, it's not something that seems to take, you know, people like, oh, this is going to take forever. It really doesn't. I mean, you can knock it out in less than 30 days in most cases.
Yeah. You can have a lot of control. The homeowner and senior can have a lot of control over how fast the process goes. I mean, it's typically we do an analysis package and say, okay, here's what you qualify for based on current market conditions and your age and what we think home value is. That looks good. Okay, let's do an application. And then you set up a required counseling session with a nonprofit housing counselor who explains it on top of us explaining.
Right.
So you've been double explaining.
You got to do it. Part of the deal. Yeah.
Part of the protection for, you know, again, you don't want to take advantage of the seniors. And so it's like you're going to be double explaining this. So to make sure you understand how the terms are. Yeah. And then you go through the process of underwriting, getting the home appraised and finishing any underwriting conditions and then, fund the loan. And so, yeah, that process can take 30 days. It just depends a little bit on how fast the homeowner wants to go through the process. A lot of it's up to them. It's part of it's designed to, you know, go at their pace, the counseling requirement. Okay, when you're ready to do your counseling requirement, then, you know, you have another, everything looks good, counseling went great. Okay, move forward at that point too. So a lot of it's up to them.
Now, we talked a little bit about this, but I'm curious, you know, because you've been doing this so long, what are the common questions that you get from, because obviously the kids are going to come into play at some point, right? They're going to want to, let me get this guy's number. I got to give him a call and figure out what the heck he's trying to talk my mom into.
Sure,
So as a, you know, the reason I want you to kind of explain this a little bit is because, you know, any realtor out there that's hearing this or even a lender that wants to kind of give this as an option. And remember, you know, if you're a lender and you want to talk to your clients, this is a way to go. And, you know, I wouldn't steer them necessarily away from it. Let them talk to somebody. If you have someone, especially within your company, that can do it. And a lot of times, you know, there are ways that, you know, you can share commissions on some of these things. You know, I know it's a little different depending on what company you're with, but in what products are being used, but you shouldn't steer away from it just because you can't do it. And so if you were talking to realtors and lenders that were going to say this and or bring this product up and they were concerned about, well, what happens when, you know, the kids call me, what do I say to them? What do you typically, you know, how do you approach it with the heirs to say, hey, look, here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. I know you probably explained the process a little bit, but what do you find kind of is a good way to kind of help calm some of the fears that naturally come with this?
Sure. And I'll speak to two aspects of it. One more, maybe one would be more commonly thought of for realtors if they propose this. But okay, as a purchase product, circling back to what I mentioned before, if your client gets into a 30-year fixed and they're already in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, yeah, not likely to see the end of that mortgage.
Right.
If you show them this option, this is an option where you're not burdening them with a lifetime payment. It's up to right. them how much they pay. And right. and since the home is still historically going to appreciate, I think pretty much everything we do in real estate is still predicated upon this long-term appreciation, experience and rates that we have. I don't think there's a lot of...
It hasn't gone down.
Yeah. There, I don't think there's a lot of banking planning that goes on predicated on like, well, we're pretty sure home values are just going to fall for 20 years. Likely the home is going to go up in value. And yes, if they aren't making payments, the reverse mortgage balance will grow, but the home value is also going to grow. And we're likely to play out in where there's a good scenario where the inheritance is still there. Likewise, from a refinance standpoint, if your parents, senior homeowners, don't do the reverse mortgage, that means the children are going to get everything, and they'll get nothing, even what they've worked for their entire lives, this right. equity they've built up, and they don't get to use any of it. Yes. You guys all get it.
Yes. Yes.
Not really that, right. not really yeah. that fair sounding.
Yeah.
Right. This isn't designed to say, well, they're going to take it all and leave nothing for you. This is more of like, well, let's kind of split this up, some for mom or dad.
Well, and that's probably the question sometimes if you get that. It's like, okay, so what are we talking about here? Because if mom and dad are ready to do this and they understand and they've been explained twice on what it is and how it works, and yeah. now son or daughter are a little upset about it because they see their money going out the window. It's like, are you worried about your parents or are you worried about you? Because it sounds like you're kind of worried about you and what you may or may not get. But why would you not want your mom and dad to, enjoy their last few years and get the money that they've worked so hard to put into their home and then be able to enjoy it versus just, sitting there barely living on ramen noodles and Social Security when they don't have to.
Right. Exactly. And it's all about, enhancing the quality of life and, using what they've worked so hard their whole lives for. It's not giving the whole thing away.
Yeah.
In my examples, I'm talking about, you have a $500,000 home and maybe the senior homeowner uses $200,000 or $300,000 of it and the rest is going to the kids. And that seems pretty fair. That's a fair outcome. So we're looking for win-win outcomes in this.
Or if nothing goes to the kids, it's still fair because mom and dad worked their butt
off. It is.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, technically it is, yeah. But to be fair, in the
everybody
back
has of a to be lot considered. Of, yes,
yeah, and in the back of
I'll have to be nice, Chris, because I'm not doing that alone. You can be the nice guy on that one. I'll just say,
well, yeah. I mean, it is true. To be fair, it's not like, oh, I worked so hard to inherit your home. It's
yes, yeah, and it's not, but we all, people think that way. That's kind of how the brain works.
Yeah.
Something I just thought of, you'd mentioned a minute ago about the rate. I'm curious. Did you say that the rate that you get it on is fixed or is it variable?
Most of these are done on variable rate lines of credit.
When do they adjust? Every year?
Monthly.
Monthly? Okay.
They follow the one-year treasury note.
But we're in a situation right now where at this point in time, rates are high or mm-hmm. higher. But all indications, time will tell. Nobody can say for sure, but all indications are that rates are going to start to decline. So just as you would take the negative side of an adjustable rate, where if the rates go up, your rate goes up, you'll also get the benefit of the downward side of that. And I think that's where a lot of, a lot of people that did adjustable rate mortgages when, prior to say 2000 and, 20, right? When rates were at 6% for a period of time, 17, 18, 19, and then they dropped down to 2 and 3. Well, they got the advantage of the lower rate because their rate adjusted downward. It didn't adjust up. And I think people forget that when it adjusts both directions. Yeah.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Right now it's already been floating down and I show the long-term appreciation or interest rate trends including appreciation, but also the interest rate history, and like, okay, kind of draw conclusions about, you know, where we're going to be right here based on, and I can give some input on economic news and what the Fed's saying and things like that. And help people say, you know, here's your conclusions about where you're at. But, you know, I talk to a lot of my clients who are in a reverse mortgage, and it's not all terrible. I mean, I did a lot of reverse mortgages when rates were 2%. And yes, those rates rose to 6% and 7%. No one called me going, oh, this is terrible. This, you know, I'm going down the tubes, everything like that. Because there was, A, if people had credit lines, it grew their credit lines at a much bigger rate than what I originally set up.
Yeah.
And B, they weren't making payments anyway. And so whether their payment was 0% on 2% or 0% on 7%, it didn't affect their daily or their monthly bills, you know. Yeah.
Well, not to mention if they got a reverse mortgage in 2020 at, let's say, 4%, that that their house was worth $400,000. By 2023, it was worth $600,000. So, you know, you get the swings in the market. And that's, you know, I talk about this all the time on the show, and I talk to realtors about this, and consumers get a little sick of seeing it on social media everywhere, because, you know, everybody that's in real estate is talking about the idea. But it's just true that when mortgage rates come down, which, you know, this is all a cycle, they will. The matter of when is the question, not if. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a matter of when. But when that does happen, then home values are going to go up. Like, that's just how it works. And especially in a circumstance where we have such a limited supply that we've had over the last several years, and there's no real relief in sight, because even as builders have dominated the purchase market for the last 12 months, they have pulled back on even their permits and new construction. They're starting to pull back on their amount that they're building. And, you know, more and more folks are staying in place, and they're not selling their home because they got a 3% rate. So when rates do start to come down, yes, there'll be more people that want to sell, but there'll also be a lot more people that want to come in and buy because they think it's more affordable at that point. And so that's just going to drive home values up even more, because we haven't been in a healthy, balanced housing market where we have the, you know, a good number of buyers and sellers on equal side. I don't know, since maybe like 2013, you know, I mean, it feels like it's been a decade since we've gotten over 3 or 4 months of supply. And even when I see notes all the time now, because obviously I pay attention to a lot of stuff because I talk about it all the time on this thing. But you'll see like, oh, certain parts of the country, they're at 5 months of supply right now. But then you dive into the numbers and you go, well, 3 months of that 5 months are homes that aren't complete. They are homes that are being built that won't be ready or even be able to move into for the next 8 months, or, you know, if best case scenario. So there's so much inventory that's being included in the numbers on new homes that are not finished or haven't even started. And so it's just one of those things where, you know, as rates start to change and start to come down in the situation of a reverse mortgage, if rates come down, number one, you're going to pick up, you know, the lower rate. And number two, you're going to probably grow your value and the amount of equity that you have at the same time. And so, again, it comes back to a lot of win-win situations where, as a homeowner that doesn't want to shell out, you know, thousands of dollars a month for a payment that at the end of your life, you just want to enjoy. I mean, why did you work so hard for everything if you don't get, you know, some years to like enjoy yourself a little bit? This is a great avenue to do that. And as real estate professionals and lenders, you know, we have to make our clients aware of this stuff. We got to tell them about it. We got to make sure that they know that these are options for them, because especially if I was a realtor and I was working with homeowners trying to sell, or even just if I'm out there marketing myself, you know, on social media, I might be marketing as, hey, if you're in your home and you want to help your kids out and buy their first home, there's a way to do that. Call me and I'll tell you how to do it. And, you know, because there is a way to do it without having to take on an extra payment and out, you know, but still being able to access that money. So it's just, you know, the ways that you can use it are, I think, so vast and so many opportunities for it. I think it's incredibly important that, especially these days, because we're at that peak 65 for these boomers, that our industry just needs to get very familiar with this product and how it works, so we can properly explain it to our clients and then refer them to professionals like you to be able to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we really need other real estate and financial professionals to understand how this works and how to best utilize it. Case in point, the industry is trying to reach out right now, reverse mortgage industry is trying to reach out to the mass affluent homeowners out there and retirees right. out there who all typically have financial planners
yeah.
and show them how having a standby reverse mortgage line of credit can help extend and smooth out their portfolios, extend the yep. life of their portfolios, smooth out market fluctuations. And Dr. Barry Sachs published a decade ago articles in the Journal of Financial Planning about how using home equity via a reverse mortgage to manage draws during retirement mm-hmm. can extend the life of the portfolio. And it kind of works like this. And I could describe the graph I normally use, but let's say somebody retired in the year 2000.
Okay.
And they had $500,000 in their 401k in 1997. The market doubled. The S&P doubled in 3 or 4 years and went up to $1 million.
Yep.
They retired in the year 2000 with $1 million. And then they thought, well, I'm going to use the banging rule, which means draw 40% out of your portfolio and you should never go broke. Mm-hmm. And they did that. But the problem is they immediately ran into the dot-com crash.
Yep.
And then a few years later, they're still pulling their $40,000 a year out, maybe adjusting it for inflation too. Maybe it's slightly more than $40,000. Then in 2008, they run into the housing market crash.
Yep.
If you still keep pulling that money out, your $1 million, that which was never supposed to be exhausted, is done by about 2013. It's gone.
Yeah. And right now we might be at the top end of, or the front side of a crash that may be coming, maybe not to that extent, but it's the way the market has gone up, the stock market has gone up, and you know, the crypto markets are exploding mm-hmm. right now over the last 6 months, leads one to believe that that kind of growth is not sustainable and you need to be very careful about your money that's sitting in the market right now.
Yeah. And so the last thing, you know, financial planners, you or anybody wants you to do when the market is down is keep pulling money out
yeah.
when the market is dropped. But you have a source for it if you use it, which is your home equity. If that same person had a standby reverse mortgage credit line, mm-hmm. that $40,000 a year,
they can draw.
Maybe it only needs to be $35,000 a year because it's not taxed. Money on a reverse mortgage isn't taxed. It's a loan, technically.
Oh, yeah. So you get to write off the interest.
If you get to write off the interest if you pay it, even if you pay it and draw it back out, that's a whole other little
ninja work on the mortgage, on the loan. Yeah, I got you.
But the main thing is draws out of an IRA or 401k are taxed. They are not on a draw from a reverse mortgage. So if you leave that money in there untaxed to recover, and the mm-hmm. subject comes up of, you know, required minimum distributions, we can talk about how to deal with that. But the big concept is if you allow that market money to recover instead of pulling it out when it's down, use mm-hmm. the money you need normally on your home equity via the reverse mortgage. No payments on that money anyway, so it's free right. to pull.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, your portfolio recovers, and I can show you how somebody in 2013, when that first example ran out of funds, they had $800,000 left.
Right. Because
just by managing the money and assets that they had.
Right. Because when the stock market is on its way down, when you pull money out, that's when you hit the cost of the loss, right? Because you're taking money out of the market when it's on the downside and then you're losing.
Yeah.
But if you can leave, and I think people get confused on it, because when you're talking about this, it's like, let's say it's in shares. Let's say you own 100 shares of Apple, right?
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. if the value of those hundreds of shares starts to go down and you sell 20 of those shares to pay your bills or whatever you need to do, then when the market rebounds, you're only going to have 80 shares that are going to grow at the rate that they were before. Whereas if you can leave those full 100 shares intact, yes, it might go down for a period of time, but you'll get the benefit when it rebounds back up. Because, I mean, again, I never want to say always, but if you look at the stock market, it'll have its dips, but you know, it always gets to new all-time highs. Mm-hmm. But if you have an outlet like the reverse mortgage, or that you can draw on during those times of the market being on a downward trend, which, by the way, is usually accompanied by low interest rates. So the money that you're borrowing on your reverse mortgage is generally going to be probably at a lower rate. Then yeah. that's going to hold you over, so you don't have to sell off your portfolio at a loss. You can hold it in there a little bit longer until the market starts an uptrend. And then when it does, then you can take that extra money that you made and pay off the reverse mortgage if you want to, right?
Yeah, if you want to, or just let it sit because your money's still working in the portfolio too.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. I mean,
you're a financial planner. You want your clients to have a robust portfolio. There's nothing to manage if your client
or taking the money out.
Goes bust from overdrawing their portfolio.
Yeah. No, man, I think it's great. And like I said, I didn't understand, you know, the product very much, or even really, I didn't really think about it, honestly. It wasn't even something that I ever considered, that I ever thought about. And I mean, it just worked out. Luckily, I had a client that was, you know, had met with somebody else about trying to do reverse mortgage on their house. And then, you know, you and I got hooked up from that and talked about it a little bit. And then opened my eyes to all these different, like even just sitting here. And I hate whenever I do these podcasts, I always have 1,000 ideas. I got to go back and write them all down about promotion and advertising on social media about this product and what it can do. Because here's the thing that I think a lot of lenders in, you know, especially lenders, but even realtors don't consider is they're like, well, why would I talk about a reverse mortgage? Because it's not going to benefit me, right? They'll think, well, like if I'm a loan officer that doesn't do reverse mortgages, then I don't want to talk about it because then they'll just end up going with Chris and I don't make money on the deal. Or if it's a realtor and they say, well, reverse mortgage doesn't sell a house, so why would I want to talk about it? What you want to do is you want to educate your clients about everything that you can educate them on when it comes to real estate. So the more you understand about every product available, even if you can't sell it or it doesn't always directly benefit you, you still want to be able to be educated on it and speak about it intelligently. Because if you do, and you can do that in a public setting, you attract more people to you to ask questions about what it is. And there are people all the time that may think they want a reverse mortgage or want to find out more about it that end up not going that route. And there will be people sometimes that come to you that do a reverse mortgage that I send to Chris or goes out to somebody else who then has a kid that they're going to help buy the house that I get to do the loan for them. So, you know, it's, you have to look at it as a growth mentality as opposed to just like, oh, I just want to keep it all for myself. Because the more you understand about all of the products available to people and the more that you can educate your clients about everything that's out there, the more likely it is that you're going to be able to reach more individuals and therefore in the aggregate get more deals. And that's really what we're all trying to do.
Agree. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It makes you a more well-rounded professional to know all of these, you know, tools that are available to your clients.
Yeah. And you're legitimately trying to help people.
If you fit them in the right, and we absolutely, you know, with reverse mortgages, that's, there's so, you know, a lot of that process is based on fitting them into the right products. So everybody's happy. And, you know, you as the person who maybe referred them or talked to them about it, you come out as the hero on the whole thing because you fit them into the best scenario for them.
100%. Well, Chris, I really appreciate your time today. This is great information and I'm glad that we met each other because I got to find out about all this. And I think it is a new tool I can add to my toolbox to reach more individuals. And, you know, I hope anybody that's listening to this takes that away from it as well, because it is truly something that you can benefit from. Now, you are based out of Nevada, right?
I'm in Nevada. Yes. Handle most of the country, to tell you the truth, okay. You know, license wise and things like that. Certainly most of the higher volume reverse mortgage states.
Yes.
But yeah.
So if you, obviously in our company, Geneva, certainly if anybody's watching it from them, give Chris a call if you have any clients that that are looking at reverse mortgages. And then anybody that isn't with us or outside, you know, how can they contact you to ask any questions or refer somebody over to you, Chris, if they need help?
Sure. Well, my website is www.rmforseniors.com. So there's information on there.
I'll put that in the show notes.
Yep. And then email chandy@genevafi.com.
Okay.
And then I just take calls all day on my cell phone, 775-777-5669 for just scenario questions. And I help people who have reverse mortgages and say, what do I do about this and that on this reverse mortgage? And I'm happy to help those people all day too.
Well, man, I can't appreciate you enough. And thank you for coming on today. It was great. And your wealth of knowledge, the encyclopedia of reverse mortgages, just like I said in the beginning. So thank you so much. Thank you for everybody that stuck around and watched till the end. I appreciate it. I'll have a market update again on Tuesday next week. And next week, my guest, because it's spring break, at least here in Texas, I will be continuing my series with my daughter. She'll come in for her third trip where we talk about teen finances. She's got a job now. She's got a budget that she's working off of, a bank account. So we got a whole lot to talk about. So if you have a teenager that you're trying to navigate through how to manage money these days, it'll be a great one to tune in for. So I appreciate everybody that was here this week. Thank you again, Chris, for coming on. And we'll see you guys next time.